This morning we have our pastor to come and speak to us. If you look in front of me, don't remove this just in case you think it's blocking. This is a really important illustration that pastor is going to use to explain to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's welcome pastor as he comes.
Good morning. And those who are watching here through live stream, good morning to you. What a day to be in God's house. It's always good to be here. Always good to see each other. And, you know, Zoom may be wonderful, but looking and experiencing the real smile is better than the smile from the Zoom. You know, the previous Sunday, Pastor Kara spoke on the strong house. And I was sitting there, I said, oh, I've been preparing that message, and, you know, that really will tie up with what I've been preparing. God wants to build strong house. How many of you realize that? You know, and He not just wants to see the house strong. He wants to see each individual sitting here strong. He wants to see families strong and even marriages strong. His desire is to build strong house, not weak or feeble house, not disunited or disconnected house, but strong house. Because when He builds strong house, He is able to display. That's what God wants to do. He wants to use you. He wants to use your marriage. He wants to use your family. He wants to use His church. He wants to make it strong so that He can display one thing. Display His glory. The world needs to see the glory of God. And how are they going to see the glory of God? Than through this person. Than through this life. So that the world can see His glory and they can see His character. You know, people have a very lopsided understanding of Jesus Christ. Some people think He's not such a kind person. Some people think He's too kind. You know? But people do have a wrong idea about Jesus Christ. And the only way God can let the world know His character is through us. It's through us. And He took a people, Israel. He took Israel and then He took them and He made them strong. How do you know, realize that Israel is strong every time when they what? They love Him and they obey Him. Look at Israel history. Look at every king. The king that follow Him and obey Him makes the country, makes the nation strong. So He took Israel and His purpose was to be able to use Him and use Israel and make them strong so that they are the head and not the tail. God has never made us the tail. He makes us the head so that they can be on top. And God wants us to be on top of everything, on top of our problem, on top of our struggle, on top of our need. So Israel were made to be a strong nation. And what is that? So that the neighboring nation there could see Israel and say, gee, we are serving all these gods and it's not working. Our life is miserable. But here, look at Israel, a people that serve the living God. Look at them. They are strong. They are blessed. You know, and so that people when look the nation around that, look at Israel and say, gee, what do you have? I also want. Is it not wonderful when people look at your life and say, what there is inside of you, what you have, what you believe, I also want. But if they look at us and say, gee, what's different between you and me? We just lost the opportunity to share about Jesus Christ. So He took Israel and made them strong. And whenever they follow Him, they become strong. But you know, Israel decide to follow the other nation. When they begin to follow the other nation and allow the other nation to influence them instead of they influencing them. Now, God has given us authority and power to influence who? To influence the world. Not the world to influence us. But when Israel begin to allow the nation around to influence them, then what happened to them? In due time, Israel become just like them. And when they become like them, they lose their authority and their blessing in God. God's house is a strong house. And strong house is built on who? It's built on Jesus Christ. And not on the culture of this world. Built on Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus Christ is a sure and steadfast foundation that will test the test of time. Nothing can destroy Jesus Christ. Nothing. You know, and when you have strong house, it produces strong nation. And strong house comes from what? A strong church. A strong church must have strong family, must have strong marriage, must have strong individuals. Because they are all connected. When one sector lacks of fear, the whole structure of the strong house suffer. When I hear what Pastor Kara was preaching on strong house, I entitled my message, God's Strong House. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 9. Let's go to the scripture. I like to preach not on an idea or what I think. I like to preach from the Word of God. Then we know we won't go wrong. Then whatever I say, if you don't like, you cannot not like me because it's from the Word of God. So let's come from the look at the Word of God. 1 Peter. You know what? You know what? I'm human. In my busyness of coming to make sure this and that, I forgot to give them my PowerPoint. And best of all, my wife said I'm growing old. Now, if you can love me for this mistake, put up your hand. Come on. That is what that makes a strong house. That even you love people for their mistakes. So, no PowerPoint, but I will preach. You know. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 9. 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 4. So as you come to him, a living stone, living cornerstone, rejected by man, but chosen and priceless in God's sight. You yourself, as living stone, are built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For they say in scripture, look, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. So you who believe sees his value, but those who do not believe, the stone that the builder reject has become the cornerstone and the stumbling stone and a rock to tip over. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were designated to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may proclaim the virtue of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Father, we want to thank you for the reading of your words this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your words is precious. And Lord, we thank you that as we look into your words, that you will speak to every heart that is present. We ask this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You know, I like the song that we sang, "Here's the house of the great king." This is not my house. This is not your house. This is the house of who? Of Jesus Christ. And he is the great king. And we come together for only one purpose. What are we coming together for? And the Bible said we come together to become that spiritual house so that we can worship him. This house is built on Christ, our rock. Cannot be shaken. Say amen to that. Cannot be shaken, cannot be shaken. Why? Because God is awesome. The thing that makes this place different is the awesomeness of God, is the presence of God. That makes our gathering different to go to any social club or any social functioning. Because when we come together, we see ourselves as a spiritual house. And this is the house that we come together to become the spiritual household so that we can offer sacrifice to God. That's why it cannot be shaken. Because God is awesome. He's awesome in this place. Now, this is important. I have found where I belong. You need to know where you belong. I am a living stone. In this house, I will grow. We want you to grow in Jesus Christ. So, how does God build strong house? There are two important stones that God used to build strong house. The first stone is called what? The cornerstone. This is what Jesus said. This is what the Bible said. That Jesus Christ is what stone? He is the living stone. He came, he died, he rose from the dead. He is living. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. And he has become alive so that you and I who believe in him will also become alive. And he is not just the living stone. He is called the cornerstone. Paul said he is the chief cornerstone. You need to understand, what is the cornerstone used for? And it's still used for today. You may not see them, but it's still used for today. The cornerstone is the first stone that you lay when you are building a building. It's the first stone. It's the first stone that you lay, and it's also called the foundation stone. Now, when you talk about Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, it also means he is the foundation stone. He is the backbone. How many of you realize without backbone, you cannot stand? You need backbone. So, when you say Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, he is the backbone. The church stands. Because of what? Of Jesus Christ. Whatever you are fighting and standing for, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is because Jesus Christ is the backbone. He's the backbone. He is the centerpiece. Now, when you look at the cornerstone, as you begin to build and lay stone on this side, or you lay stone on that side, the cornerstone is the marker. It's the first stone that lays. So, whatever you lay on this side or on this side, or you lay the bricks up, it must all be in line with what? The cornerstone. If that is the church, that is also how your life should be. Your life must be built on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Whether you build up, you build left, you build right, it must be on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. He is the centerpiece. He is the centerpiece. He is the pillar. He is the cord. He is the lifeblood. The lifeblood of the church, the lifeblood of your Christian life, the lifeblood of your marriage. That's why if Christian marriage end up in divorce. And I'm telling you, it's happening too much in our world today. Something is wrong with the foundation. Something is wrong with how it is being built. You know, and it must be the heart. That means when you say Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, He is the heart. The heart of everything of who we are. He must be the masterpiece. When you build your house, if you have a chance to build your own house, they lay the cornerstone. I look at a house that was being built, my house. I go almost every day to have a look, what are they doing? This is the difference. In our world today, when they build, lay the brick and they build, what do they do after that? They put the plaster, they paint it, or they put earth so that you can't see the cornerstone at all. That is natural. You don't see the cornerstone. But when it comes to the church, when it comes to your life, when it comes to your marriage, you must always be able to see the cornerstone. Say amen. Because the cornerstone is where all our faith begins. He's called the cornerstone of our faith. If we are built on this cornerstone, and that is what it was when they built in Jesus' time, that cornerstone become the measurement. The measurement and become the alignment of the whole building. Let me ask you, the cornerstone must become the measurement. He must become the alignment of everything of what we say and do. How do you measure holiness? How do you measure righteousness? How do you measure justice? If you measure according to this world, holiness is different measurement. But to measure from this cornerstone, this is what God say, be holy even as what? I am holy. This is the measurement. How do you measure righteousness? When the rich man came to Jesus and called him good master, he turned around and looked at the good man and said, no one is good except who? God in above. How do you measure righteousness? When Jesus looked at the scribe and the Pharisees and say, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribe and the Pharisees, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Look, when I look at the scribe and righteousness, the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisees, I'm telling you, they are far, far above me. How do you measure that? This cornerstone, they say, you are righteous because of what I did for you. Measure. How do you measure justice? Everybody got a different sense of justice from this cornerstone. This is the cornerstone that becomes very important for what? For our biblical values. What do you believe? What do you fight for? What do you stand for? Of course, our value is not according to the value of this world that is changing. Our value must be on Jesus Christ, who said He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He never changed. The world out there can change left and right, but biblical value stands firm if it's on this cornerstone. How do you build on this cornerstone? Jesus said, to build on this cornerstone is to build on what He say and what He do. He is our example. To build on this cornerstone It's like Jesus telling his disciples, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So I built on this cornerstone. When I read the gospel, when I read the Bible, this is what God say, this is what God do. He is my example, therefore I follow him. I built on this cornerstone by understanding what does Jesus teach, the teaching of Jesus Christ. I obey it, I observe it. The word that Jesus told the disciple is not select those commands that you like, but what? All the command. You know, in the Old Testament, God said, my commandment is not heavy or grievous. My commandment is for your own good. And we know that by our own self, we cannot keep the commandment. But we know that Christ has come into our heart and give us a new heart and a new spirit and a new desire to obey him and to be like him. This is the cornerstone, brothers and sisters, that the church must be built on. This is the cornerstone where your life, your marriage, your family must be built on. He is the cornerstone. Cornerstone. And so Jesus said this word. If we hear the Bible, what the word of God say, and we don't do it, therefore we are not building our life on what? On this cornerstone. Now this is what Jesus said in the Message Bible. Why are you so polite with me? Always saying, yes sir, and Lord, Lord, but never do a thing I tell you. This is from Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to verse 49. This word I speak to you are not mere addition to your life. Jesus said, what I'm telling you is not add-on, home owner improvement to your standard of living. I think we all want the good life. How many of you want a good life? Come on, put up your hand, you want a good life. But believing in Jesus Christ is more than a good life, is more than an improved life. He said this, the word that I said to you, my teaching, they are foundation word to build a life on. That's for, to build on this cornerstone is to build your life on the word of Jesus. If you work the word into your life, taking God's word and putting it into your life and applying it to your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dig deep and laid the foundation of his house on the bedrock. And when the river burst its band and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you use my word in Bible study, now, Jesus is not against Bible study, say amen. But Bible study is not knowledge seeking or information gathering. In the West, the world we are in, we have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. But the question is, do you apply? So this is what the Bible says. If you just use my word in Bible study and do not work them into your life, if you don't apply them. I know that some people want to have a lot of information so that they can argue about the Bible. The Bible is not for you to argue, say amen. The Bible is for you to live. You say, if you do not work them in your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house that skipped the foundation. And when the river burst forth, come crashing in, it will collapse the house. It will be total loss. So, I need to build my life on this cornerstone. Here is my biblical value. Here is my lifeblood. Here is my heart. My heartbeat, the pulse that is in here, should not be about the world, but about what the Bible says. This cornerstone, rejected, but yet it is the power of God to those that believe. Jesus said this, not everybody is going to be happy with him. Some will take his teaching and be stumbled and be offended. But those who are willing to believe what he says is the power of God unto salvation. You know, lately I was looking at some information, and I was very certain that there are few pastors and worship leaders that wrote songs from mega church in America that walk away from their faith. The Bible called this apostasy. And because they have been building not on the cornerstone, they have been building on celebrity culture. When they walk away, when they depart from their faith, thousands of their followers did the same. The Bible talks about the great falling away in 2 Timothy verse 2 and verse 3. Is this the beginning of the great falling away? Then as I do a little bit more research, one of them was interviewed by his good Christian friend, and he concluded the reason why his friend departed from his faith is because he has no understanding of biblical value. He allowed the world value to view how he sees God, how he sees church, how he sees the world, and how he sees life. Everything there is changing. We need what? This cornerstone. Is this cornerstone that Jesus told Satan in his temptation, it is what? Written. God's word never changed. We need this cornerstone. And God wants to build a strong house that is visible for all to see. How have you been building your life? Have you been building your life on this cornerstone, the foundation of your faith? Are you the wise builder or the foolish builder? The smart carpenter or the dumb carpenter? Do you need to align yourself to this cornerstone? So, how does God build? He built first with a cornerstone. Then the next thing he do, he built with what? Living stone. Here Paul said that you are living stones. He didn't use singular, he used plural. That we come together, become you. You are living stone for the building of the house, when the cornerstone is the foundation. And the reason why he bring you together to become that living stone, to become that spiritual house, so that it can offer what? Sacrifices to God. And he call us what? Holy priesthood. You may not feel holy, but the Bible says because of Jesus Christ that has made you righteous, you are holy. Say amen to that. You know, and here you've got to understand. God take each one of us, put us together, become a spiritual household to offer praise sacrifices to him. I always have comment from people, pastors who come to Grace City Church, and they say, look, the praise and worship at Grace is really dynamic. People are really praising. We are not entertaining people. It's not one of performance. We are New Testament priests. Say amen. If we follow Old Testament, only the tribe of Levi, none of us will qualify. So, what is the difference between Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament? This is the difference. In the Old Testament, you bring your sacrifice. You bring it to who? The priest. The priest does the preparation. The priest does the cutting. The priest put it on the altar. The priest do everything. And what do the people do? The people just stand there and what? And observe. And just see what the priest is doing. When worship is about performing, everything is done over from this side while you are sitting there, yeah, having a good time. Then you are actually doing what? Old Testament worship. Can you understand? New Testament is that you become the priest. You are a holy priesthood. You become the priest. You come together. You know, we thank God for the worship team. But together, we offer sacrifices to God. Now, do you prefer the Old Testament style or the New Testament style? Come on, if you like the New Testament style, put up your hand. Because if you like the Old Testament style, then next week, bring a cow here. We will slaughter. It will be... So God used living stone for the building of his house. And Peter said, coming to him. He never said, you came to him. He said, you coming to him. It means what? Continuously coming to God. When we bring salvation to people, teach people about coming to Jesus Christ, say the sinner prayer, that's it, you can go on, you are saved. We are not giving the true picture. The true picture is you believe, you must continue on with him. Say amen to that. And so he said, coming on to him, coming to Christ, coming to him, we become living stone because he is living, we become living. We are shaped as living stone for the building of the house. I like the New Testament worship because the time has come where Jesus said, but the time is coming, indeed is here now, where true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What did I say? That God used what stone? Living stone. Bring them together for the building of the house. The second stone is the living stone. We are not dead stones, say amen. Yes, once we were dead in sin and trespasses. Once we were enemy of God. Once we are not interested about him. We have no thoughts about him. We want to do our own thing. But then we saw the light. We hear the gospel. When we believe in Jesus Christ and we were dead, now becomes alive. And the good thing about being alive in Jesus Christ, he gave us purpose, he gave us fulfillment, he gave us hope, he gave us destiny. It comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, as I stand here, I'm not a dead stone, say amen. I'm a living stone, no dead weight. I need to realize, I'm not a dead stone, I'm a living stone. And another thing I need to realize, I'm a living stone, not a living brick. Say amen to that. Now, have you seen bricks before? Bricks, all the same size, all the same shape, all the same color, all the same texture, because it's made according to what? Manufacturer specification. They take the clay, they make it, and they put it into the kiln, and then they fire it. And after a period of fire, the bricks all look what? The same. You can never be a living brick. You're a living stone. Sitting here, all of us are what? Are different. So, when God takes you as a living stone to put onto this cornerstone and build, we are all different. Different like, dislike, you know, different gifting, different anointing, different varieties. It's all different. God lays. So when you lay stones, you see what? You see gap. What do you do with the gap? What do you do with the gap? Here's where they don't realize. All this gap is for us to practice the fruits of the Spirit. All this gap, you know, is sealed and filled by the grace of God. Giving grace to you, you giving grace to me, giving forgiveness to you, giving forgiveness to me. All this gap is filled by what? The fruits of the Spirit, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to work in your heart. Humility, patience, long-suffering, kindness, love, gentleness. That's how the house is built. Can you understand? Because we are not going to meet perfect people. Some sing louder than others. Some sing out of tune. But we still love them. All this different, God used. I'm a living stone, not a dead stone. I am a living stone, not a living brick. Now, thirdly, I'm a living stone, not a rolling stone. The old Proverbs that say, rolling stone gathers no moss. When I talk about rolling stone, I'm not talking about the rock and roll group called Rolling Stone. The group of, you know, a group of them, Mick Jagger and his boy, they refuse to grow old. They all want to look young. That Proverbs, rolling stone gathers moss, no moss, has two meanings. First, a person who never settled down in one place will not be successful or prosper. Secondly, it means someone who is always moving with no roots in one place avoids responsibility. One stone cannot build a spiritual house. You need what? Many stones. You use dead stone, you cannot build a spiritual house. You need living stone. And you can definitely not be able to build if you have rolling stone. Could you imagine if your house is built with rolling stone? Tomorrow the stone is not there. What is going to happen to the house? I mean, come on, think about that. It's impossible. One stone cannot build a house. We need many stones to build a house. You know, and stones that are always moving from one place to another place, the house cannot be built. The God who created heaven and earth, the God who said all things are possible, cannot build his house with rolling stones. How many of you realize that? Here's where he placed you. Stay around, stay together, stay and work together, stay and pray together, stay and celebrate together, stay and eat together. Say amen. Stay and eat together, stay and build his house together, and stay and grow old together. We are the living stone that God used for building his house. And each powerhouse is an extension of the spiritual house. I want to encourage you, as we come together, if you are not connected in the powerhouse, please see Jack or Joni. They are the powerhouse coordinator. Let's get connected to a powerhouse. If we need to start new powerhouse, we would love to do that. We want to see every one of you connected with somebody. Connected. Because God wants to build a great house for his great name. And this is the house of the great king. Let me get the musician to come together. You know, when I sing this song, my heart just charged. Wow! That God is a king, the great king of his house. As we come together to see ourselves as a spiritual house to offer sacrifice to God as holy priesthood. Every stone is important. We all have a place that God has placed us. And why he do that? So that we are able to show forth his praises as a chosen generation, a loyal nation, and a peculiar people who came out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are living stones of God's strong house. Let's sing this song here in the house of the great king. Why don't you stand up with me?
We come together now to worship Him. Something built on Christ the rock cannot be shaken, cannot be shaken. God is awesome in this place.
Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, what he teaches, he's your example, his commandment, have you been building on it? Or you've been building on what is popular in our world? Only Jesus is a sure and steadfast foundation. Keep your eyes on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Let others see that you are built on Christ, the cornerstone of your faith. That your lifeblood, your heart pounds, your values, what you stand for and fight for is based on this cornerstone. All other foundation will collapse. Only building on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of your faith, will last for for eternity, for the test of time. While others may build just for the now. What can I get now? What can I gain now? What can I benefit now? God wants us to build for eternity. This morning, how have you been building your life? Of you are those who say, God, I want to build my life on no other foundation but on this foundation, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Lift your hand to Him and say, Lord, I want to follow You. This is what being a disciple is. A disciple is one who follows the master teaching, the master life, and the master example. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can not be a disciple if you are not willing to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow Him. To be built on this cornerstone, I need to deny myself. I need to take up the cross. I need to follow Him. Lord, today we stand before You and say that we choose to build our life not on any other foundation, but only on You, the sure and steadfast foundation. I ask, Lord, help us as we follow You, as we obey You, as we love You. Each of us is the living stone for His house. Be the living stone that is connected to the life of God, to the life of the body. Be the living stone that is able to do Your part for the building of the spiritual house of God. Lord, I ask You, take this word that has been spoken. Let it not become knowledge or information. Let it become life transformation as we, by Your grace, apply into our life so that we may grow into the image of the living stone, the chief cornerstone. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.